Education and healthcare reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We are continuing our conversation on applied behavior analysis and the repercussions of the failure of House Bill 1236 for families in South Dakota who have kids with autism. Our next guests are Dr. Kathleen Cook. She is an assistant professor in the Education Department at Augustana University, a board-certified behavior analyst, and the executive director for the South Dakota Association of Behavior Analysis. Dr. Cook, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Crystal Troll, who is a mother of a child with autism, living this conversation out on a daily basis. Crystal, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your kids or kid and the original diagnosis and sort of a little bit about your journey first,
sure.
Please.
I have one daughter named Nicole. She was diagnosed, she's four now, but she was diagnosed in March of 2017 with autism at age two. And she is just happy little girl that sings all the time now and just smiling and
take
happy.
Me back to the moment, but you get that diagnosis and what that does for you as a parent. What is it kind of doing internally?
Yeah, it was hard because we'd known for a while that she had a developmental delay, but I didn't really know, you know, what that meant. And so I thought that I would actually be somewhat happy with the autism diagnosis at first, to have an idea of, okay, now what do we do? But the moment that they told me, I just broke down. For a couple of days, I was just really upset about it. And then after that, I was like, okay, let's figure out what we need to do now. And everything I researched, everybody I talked to, the doctors, my daughter's doctor, other doctors, looked online, Autism Speaks everywhere, recommended ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis Therapy. So we immediately started doing everything we needed to get her into that. And it's a long process to get the diagnosis, first of all, and then to get into the ABA therapy. And so, like I said, she was diagnosed in March. She started ABA in August of 2017, and that was actually incredibly fast compared to a lot of families. And it was just amazing because before then she hadn't said an intentional word. Like there were times where I was like, oh, I think she said mom. And I would tell myself that that's what she was saying, but it was never intentional. It was just a sound. And then within less than 2 months in ABA therapy, and this is after over a year in private speech therapy and the birth to three program, which she did have some progress in, but minimal compared to ABA. In less than 2 months in ABA, she was saying her first word. In less than 3 months, she was saying help, asking for help. A year in, she was able to look at any of our pictures, the people close to her and her family and her close friends, and could say their name and knows. And like I said, now she just sings all the time. She loves 10 in the bed. She always lines up different stuffed animals on either on the bed. She takes over our bed or whatever, the floor, whatever, and she rolls them and she can count and she knows all that. We've just started having conversations now. Luckily, she unfortunately has not had ABA therapy since the start of this year. We lost our coverage, but luckily she has not regressed in terms of communication, and that's always been my biggest concern, is for her to have a way to communicate her wants and needs to us. So I'm so thankful.
How did you find out you were losing coverage?
Well, I do have a marketplace plan, and so like I said, she's been in ABA since August of 2017, and so we've had two prior authorizations through Sanford, my Sanford insurance, with the marketplace. And there was complications with both of those before. So at first I thought it was all just paperwork issues and stuff like that, like we've had in the past. And then finally, after several phone calls and trying to figure out what was going on, because our plan said the exact same thing as it did before, because we got a letter saying coverage was denied, but it didn't give any other explanation, because our plan had said the exact same thing. And then it wasn't until January 28th, I believe, was the day of this year, 2019, that I found out that her previous ABA coverage had been covered in error, and she would no longer be getting coverage.
Kathleen Cook, let's talk about ABA and exactly what it is. So we've been talking about it, how expensive it is and how much time it takes, but what is it?
Yes. So ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis, it is a scientific discipline based on behavior research from the past 100 years. We know that it's effective. We know that it works. When you are applying behavior analysis with any individual, it's based on observation of that individual's behavior in the environment. So you look closely at those antecedents, the things that happen before the behavior occurs, and you also look at consequences, those things that occur immediately after a behavior that can be maintaining the behavior. And it's very systematic and data-based. And once you have those good observations, you can devise the different interventions that you're going to implement. So it can be as simple as changing the environmental arrangement, the setting, prior to those behaviors. It can also be specifically teaching new and more appropriate behaviors that will access those same consequences. Instead of having a meltdown to get a cookie, you can teach a child different manners of requesting a cookie. Speech may not be easy for some young children with autism, but you can teach signs. You can teach use of symbols and pictures to communicate. And so the thing about ABA, it's not one treatment. It is a system of treatments. It's very individualized depending on the child's needs. We know that the intensive early intervention works with these children. And it's not just children with autism. Even though autism is our focus right now, we know it's effective with children with developmental disabilities. Children with pediatric feeding disorders sometimes goes hand in hand with autism spectrum disorders. So it's effective across the lifespan, not just for young children. Some children can go through a two-year period of very intensive intervention and be dismissed from therapy, be successful in regular neighborhood public schools, and go on to have successful outcomes. Other children need more intensive support for across the lifespan.
As I'm listening to you describe it, I hear seeds of things that parents might be able to learn and apply at home. But when you talk about the intense scientific observation and the data, it seems pretty clear that this isn't something that you could just be a parent and kind of pick up some skills. You need the professionals. You need the full treatment. Which, am I on the right track there?
You are. So the beginning is having that professional observation, professional assessment, and we use this data-based information to decide, is our treatment working? Do we need to make changes? What are those skills that are of highest priority to address first that have the most social value for that child in that family unit, in that community? However, it's also important that as the child learns the skills, the parents are also taught how to continue the same strategies at home. That's when the child learns how to generalize the skills outside of an intense therapy setting and to continue to use the skills out at home and in the community. So it starts with those professional observations and the professional information. But training for parents, for teachers, is also very, very important after the children learn these skills.
Crystal, can you give me an example of something that you as a parent learned from ABA with
Absolutely.
Nicole?
One of the things that I've really been trying to focus on at home, especially since she lost coverage of her therapy, is to first do this, then that. So like she loves going to Grammy and Grampy's house, but hates having her hair brushed. And so I'll say, okay, it's time to brush your hair. Or I'll say, you want to go to Grammy and Grampy's house? We're going to go to Grammy and Grampy's house. First brush hair, then Grammy and Grampy's house. Because I try to make it as simple as possible, so as few words as possible for her. But first brush hair, then Grammy and Grampy's house. And it takes her from total meltdown to, you know, like running away from me to understanding that, and then we'll count to 10. That's another thing that we learned with ABA is I can't just sit there and brush her hair out. You know, I have to give her that break, and it's a timing thing too. So we count to 10, and then after 10 seconds of brushing her hair, then, and she'd counsel a lot faster than she did in the beginning. And so that's another thing I've learned is to get her to be involved and count through something that she doesn't like can help her to stay calm and not immediately go into a behavior.
Dr. Cook, if you have more than one kid at home that has autism, the strategies would be different. There might be some thematics. Tell me a little bit about families with more than one kid that's expressing, you know, that's on a spectrum in a different way.
Well, so one thing we know is that every child with autism is different and unique. So the saying goes, if you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism. There are individual differences. Some of the strategies, when families learn some good behavior management strategies, that can work across the board with all children. But the big thing that we do with applied behavior analysis is we look at each individual child's needs, and we will develop interventions specifically for this child. However, that being said, some of the strategies that Crystal was just describing, the first thin strategy, are different priming strategies or cueing strategies to help children understand what's coming up and understand that there is a specific reinforcement that will be provided for giving a correct response. It definitely increases that family's access to implementing the strategies at home, as well as, you know, not just in that therapy session. So it's a great generalization strategy.
Are parents bringing their kids to a facility? How many hours a week? Is this something that they're taking stuff home? Tell me how it sort of plays out in a family's life.
For us specifically, like Nicole, she was approved before it was discovered to be an error. She was approved for 35 hours of ABA therapy per week. So usually it ranges for families 30 to 40 hours per week. And that can be, we brought her to a provider here in town in Sioux Falls to their facility. I do know that there are therapists that go to some of the clients' houses too, and so sometimes their children will go to the facility and other times the therapist will go to their house. And right before we lost our coverage, that was actually a plan, was to have them come to our house to try to work on getting her to eat more things, because she has a very limited diet in what she'll eat. And that's one thing that I can't figure out at home is to how to get her to even try new things. So that was kind of our next step, was to try to have the therapist come to our house to help us with that and do more parent training.
Dr. Cook, tell me about how many people are getting certified, you know, the training that's going into these providers.
So I'm a board-certified behavior analyst. Our board was developed about 20 years ago in 1999, and the whole reason for it was to provide guidelines for effective behavior analysis, also to give us a really strong code of ethics that we were only going to provide intervention for these socially valid, important behavior skills. And typically early intervention, the intensive early intervention is up to 40 hours per week. States that have mandated insurance coverage, the numbers have just grown exponentially over the last 20 years. And the state of South Dakota, right now we have about 30 BCBAs. If you go to California or Massachusetts, it's in the thousands of BCBAs that are providing services. Of course, we're a much smaller state population-wise, but I do expect our numbers will grow as we get mandated insurance coverage across the board for our children.
Are you hearing from families and providers who have a tinge of desperation with the legislation and with getting a letter saying that's no longer covered, or, you know, pursuing some kind of coverage now that this is the first time they've heard about it and finding out that it's not available for their kids, but it might be available for their best friend's kid? What are you hearing from families and even the providers who have been seeing the progress in this child, and then all of a sudden they can't see the child anymore?
It's a high level of frustration. My heart goes out to the families, because they are seeing strategies that work. We do know that typically these intensive early intervention services are successful when provided for about 2 years. And so 6 months sometimes can be enough, but more often it'll be 1 to 2 years. Some children continue to need it. But to take services away when a child is starting to show success is heartbreaking. And so I am not a direct provider of services because I work at the university. However, I am completely in support of, and with my membership in the South Dakota Association of Behavior Analysts, one of our goals is to disseminate accurate information about applied behavior analysis across the state. And so absolutely, we are very much in support of these parents who need this mandated insurance coverage.
I want to close with Crystal, but before I do, is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you think for those families who are listening with kids with autism, first steps, what do you recommend that they do as they are sitting in this period of indecision and wondering?
Well, absolutely. So the pediatrician is the first line. And if you're not sure, ask your pediatrician about support. You're welcome to contact me at Augustana University. If you want to go on Facebook and look up the South Dakota Association of Behavior Analysts, we would be glad to provide support. And then there's a lot of national support. Autism Speaks has been a great resource as well. But I don't hesitate to get early intervention services or to reach out for them. Hopefully you would be in a position to be covered right now, and we need to continue to support coverage for all families in South Dakota.
Crystal, the first time you heard Nicole sing, tell me what that moment was like for you.
Well, the first time I heard it, she always made noises, but I'll never forget her first word. Go after, like I said, less than 2 months in therapy. It was in a session, and they had a balloon, and they just blew it up and would say, ready, set, and then she said, go, and they let the balloon go. So that was, you know, just a simple getting her introduced to ABA therapy, but it was everything to me. I didn't know if I would ever hear her talk or hear her say words, and so that just, it was hope. It was possibility. That's what it was.
Crystal Troll is a mother of a child on the autism spectrum. Kathleen Cook is assistant professor in the education department at Augustana University and a board certified behavior analyst, executive director for the South Dakota Association of Behavior Analysis. Getting a little teary-eyed, Crystal. I'm not gonna lie. So thank you both for being here. Best of luck to you and Nicole and whatever comes next in getting this treatment for your daughter.
Thank you so much.